Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we just come before you now, Lord. Lord, that whatever may be on our hearts at this day, Father, Lord, that we can just place circumstances and things behind us, Lord. Lord, that we just might look to you. And Lord, just reach out as you hear our cry, Lord. As you hear our cry, as we put our hope in you, Lord, we know, Lord, that you will undertake for us in a very special way. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Hayden. Good boy. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. Amen. As we just come together as we do as people of God, men and women of God. And God just wants to hear our heart, doesn't he? We often say we want to hear your heart, God. Well, God's heart is for us. And he just wants to reach out and touch us and in every way. But this morning, I'd just like to share from the book of the Old Testament, from the book of Malachi. But right throughout life, we face many challenges, don't we? Even from the very time when the Israelites first moved out from the land of Egypt, and God led them through in a wonderful, wondrous place and brought them into that promised land, they suppose they got a little bit hoity because God had done this great thing, and they thought they were right, you know, but and they kept wandering away from God, and so they were constantly being challenged about returning to God, coming back to the Lord their God. And it's still the same today, even though we're in New Testament times. We know the way, and the Lord says walk in it. We know that we are called to be a righteous people and to walk in God's way, but there's always a challenge, isn't it, for us to step up a little bit further, just to rise up and to meet the challenges of everyday life. And I suppose one of the biggest challenges at the moment is just getting up out on a cold morning, isn't it? Getting out of a warm bed. But it's a part of life. But when we get down into the nitty-gritty things of life, there are many things that we come up against, isn't it? There's always seems to be something that's rising up, stirring up, and where our faith is challenged a little bit. And we don't like that, do we? And often, as it is with God's word, when God speaks, that we get a little bit uncomfortable, you know, sometimes, and we seem to squirm and a little bit, that, you know, oh, I can't do this. I can't do this, too hard. But the thing is, God says you can. And as I wrote in the bulletin this week, and was mentioned before, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because of what the Lord has done. And we can all stand and say yes and amen to that. Because of what the Lord has done, that's why we're here today. Because God has brought us to this place, put us in this place, here on this earth. He's poured out his blessing, he's poured out his spirit upon us. And so we meet, come together and meet together as God's people in his house. Amen. So this morning I'd just like to share from the book of Malachi in chapter 3 there. And the book, of course, is ascribed to Malachi, whose name means messenger, the one who is to come. And in this book of Malachi, the theme of the book, it's a graphic picture of the closing period of the Old Testament history. And in this writing of Malachi's, it shows that in at that time, as Malachi was called by God to speak, that great reforms were needed to prepare the way for the coming Messiah, because things they were starting to wander a bit and just get starting to get right away from the things of God. And so the word was spoken. But the text or key verse of this scripture is found in Malachi 3:8, where the question is asked, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? And so we see you there. But in this book of Malachi here, in the synopsis of this book, there's two sides. There's the dark side of the picture and the light side. And the dark side speaks about the sins of a dishonest, ungrateful people and an unfaithful priesthood. And with the light side speaks about God's glorious promises and the things to come through our trust in Him. But like many things, we hear stories, but there's always two sides of the story. So here we have the dark side, the good side, and that's always a great and a wonderful thing. And so in this book of Malachi there, we see here that where serious charges had come across the people, three very important issues that of complaint that was brought to the Israelites by Malachi. Malachi was chosen by God to bring this message to the people. He was the one that God spoke to and said, hey, you've got to challenge these people. You've got to tell these people they've got to come back to me. They've got to start doing the right thing. They've got to be a righteous people. I've called them to be my people, but they are wandering away from me. They're doing all these detestable things. And so God speaks to Malachi. And so Malachi comes with the word and to speak to the Israelites. And so the word that Malachi had the challenge about, they were accused of being an ungrateful people, of being irreligious, and they profaned all of God's ordinances and His laws, and they corrupted the name of the Lord, their Lord, their God. They corrupted His name with the way they started to live, the idols they chose in place of Him, the things they were doing against God's ways and all that. So Malachi had to bring this word and to speak to these people because they had a lot to answer for. But always in God's word, when God speaks a harsh word, He also brings a great promise. Amen? And if we read the scriptures like that and we see, you know, we look through a lot of the Old Testament scripture and you think, oh, that could be a bit hard, God. But God says, but. There's always a but or a condition. If you walk in my ways, if you abide in me, if you adhere to my commandments, all those type of things. But there's always a promise. So God brings a promise here through the words of Malachi. And He has this promise to them, and He speaks about the coming messenger of the covenant and the works of Christ. And so we look in chapter 3 of Malachi, reading the first verses. And it speaks here about the coming day of judgment. And the word says, look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, to whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord God Almighty. But who will be able to endure when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or a strong soap that whitens clothes. He will sit and judge like a refiner of silver, watching closely as the dross is burning away. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold or silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. So there we see there that the word speaks about the coming messenger of the covenant. And we keep reading on. And in verse 10, where it speaks here about the blessing and the opening of the floodgates that God's going to bring. In verse 10 it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you. And there, so Lord gives that great and mighty promise of what he's going to do. And he's saying for us to just receive this. And he also speaks to the God's people, about all the saints becoming God's peculiar treasures, particularly to those who had not given away to all the cynics and the fear and the negatives, I suppose you could say, that people of that time were speaking to God's people, the ones who were standing in the things of God, the ones who were prepared to stand up. They stood against all this, these cynics and the ones who were putting fear in them. But God gave them a promise of becoming God's peculiar treasures. And in verse verse 2 and 3. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will shine with healing in his wings, and you will go out free, leaping with joy, like calves let out to pasture. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord God Almighty. Again, there the wonderful promises of God, and so there we just see that and also that the Lord promised. He spoke about a new day of righteousness, where salvation and there'll be renewal that is intended for God's people. There'll be a great uprising as people turn back to God and come back to him and worship him in the way that he asks and expects it. So the call to repent and turn their hearts before that great and dreadful day at of the Lord's coming, to get themselves right with God while there was still time. In the things of God, to come back to him in that way. So here we see Malachi speaking out at a time where Israel, they'd been brought back into the land, and they rebuilt the temple, had been rebuilt, and here we see them, they're starting to do well in life, they're starting to prosper. But as often is with the case of prosperity, we become self-sufficient and careless, don't we? We think, oh well, we don't need God anymore, we can do it on our own. And so the people there, the priests and the people, they started to get selfish and careless about the things of God, and they thought they could get away with it all, away without giving to God something that didn't amount so much. They thought they could just appease God by giving some of the leftovers, something that's not quite right, and everything would be all right. And they thought that they could keep on living that way. But what we need to see today is that God's law doesn't require a huge amount of your property to be sacrificed to him. God doesn't want all our stuff. He blessed us with that. He only wants a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And as we know, in those Old Testament times, among the animals, only a few were needed to be sacrificed, but they were supposed to be healthy. They were supposed to be worth something. And that's because God knew that this sacrifice was a picture of the real sacrifice that was to come in Jesus Christ. He was even preparing their hearts way back then. You know, to what you give to me is to be pure, it is to be worthwhile, it is to be a good thing. And so I suppose even though the people, they may not fully understood what God was saying, and this was and what, but what God required, you know, what they were supposed to give, what they were supposed to sacrifice, was a healthy, a good, a valuable, a pure sacrifice, because this is, as I said, this is a picture, picturing the pure sacrifice that I'm going to give on your behalf in Jesus Christ. And that was the thing. So would you like to just put those couple of slides up? And just as an example, I'd just like to show you something as this comes up. But as I said, particularly with animals, you know, God wanted the best. God wanted the best. And I just use this. I just hang on to that one first. I don't know whether I was laying hands on or not. But that this poor little heifer there, she during an electrical storm one night up on the farm, a tree came down and cracked her shoulder, hit her shoulder, and she was pretty lame there for a while, and she lost a lot of weight, and she could see that she's not well, she's thin. And so in those days, I could have got away, if that was the way I was not treating God, and I could give her that thin cow that probably was only worth $250 at the abattoirs. But with that cow, Ross was away at the time, but we gave her a couple of penicillin needles, and every day I got that little plastic thing of like a muesli mix, they call it beef up. It's got all the good stuff in it. And I just made sure every day that that cow got at least 3 kilograms of good feed, and she started to come good, and she put on weight, and she had another calf. So, you know, but in that condition, you could see I could give that away and it wouldn't cost me much, the next one. But see the difference in that lovely cow there. I wish the farm looked like that now, but but you see the difference. But you see what the Word of God's saying. God wants our best, doesn't he? Not that thin, sickly cow that wouldn't have cost me much if I got rid of. That one, she was worth $1,100, $1,200. But, yeah. Yeah. No, it's not the same cow, no. Sorry. But you see the difference what God wants. I'm trying to really get it in our hearts that God wants our best. He doesn't want our leftover stuff. And so the next one there, and like this, what did the when the prodigal son came marching home, what did the father do? Said, get out the fatted calf, didn't he? Get out that little steer, that little heifer, she's nice and fat, and we'll have that for a banquet. And so God wants the best. Okay, thank you, Jeremy, Roshan, and so there, just for us to see, it's a good example, I feel, about, you know, just giving our best to God. And as I said, the people then, they just didn't really understand how they were robbing God, you know, and just giving their might to give the best oil, the best grain and all that sort of thing, the best sheep. God wants our best, But in all our giving, giving on our own terms, giving what's convenient, giving what's useless and cheap, God doesn't want that kind of giving, does he? Because often there's no real sacrifice on our part. I feel when we really give something out of your heart, you know, and you're really happy, you're satisfied about it, and you know God would be pleased that you gave something worthwhile to someone, you done something good for someone, and so God wants our first, and he wants the best, and as so God asks for an offering, doesn't he? For this kind of offering, when we make an offering, that we do it at the right time, that we give it that right time, the acceptable time, that we use the right words, that we do it in the right place, and we do it cheerfully and with a happy heart and with a right attitude and with gratitude. Why? Because of what the Lord has done. Because of what the Lord has done. Amen. Thank you. But so again, the word of God, heed the word. And God had say to these people, he said, well, through Malachi, and God said to Malachi, well, that someone would shut the temple doors so that you wouldn't light useless fires on my altar. And God says, I am not pleased with you, and I will not accept these offerings from your hands. God doesn't want a filthy sacrifice, stuff that is given, stuff that's unacceptable, given in the wrong way, with wrong attitudes. God wants our best. And that's what was happening in that time. And God says, look, just shut the door. I don't want you to even do a sacrifice. I don't want you to perform sacrifices. All I want is you. All I want is you. I want your heart just to come to me. And says, so don't waste my time and yours with unacceptable sacrifice. They're a stench in my nostril. That's a displeasing aroma. It's unacceptable. So, but thankfully, because we now live in New Testament times, we don't have to offer a sin offering, do we? Because why? Jesus done it all, didn't he? Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, pure without blemish, given by God, and he took the punishment for our sin, and no other sacrifice has to be offered for that. Other than that, we come before him with wholesome hearts, gladful hearts, that we can bring a praiseable and worshipable, that is acceptable in God's sight, that will bring a pleasing aroma to him, that God will be pleased with everything that we bring before him. And as I said, Christ became that offering for us. And so what does that mean for us? We all have plenty to offer, don't we? Every one of you people here today, we all have something to offer. And God wants whatever we have that we give back to him in that way. Because God calls us to offer our praise, our prayer, our worship. God calls us to offer our time to him. God calls us to offer our finances to him. He calls us to come under obedience. And as it says in Romans 12:1, and it's a real strong plea there from the writing there about to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to him. And Paul says there in Romans 12:1, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, I urge you. Paul uses that word, urgent. It means urge you. It's a moving word, and there's the urgency, the plea, the passion in it. I spoke about passion last time I spoke, so Paul here is a real passionate plea, isn't it? And he's saying, I urge you, brethren, I urge you people to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And he says, this is your spiritual act of worship. That is our act of worship, to come before God in that way. And so we see here there how the, excuse me. How the Apostle Paul, he goes into detail that shows that in Christ Jesus, Jesus has to be Lord of every area of our life, not just parts of it, every area of our life, that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to him. And in doing that, God demands our action as well as the believing and our thinking, and because in all through that, faith expresses obedience, doesn't it? And so there is plenty that we are supposed to offer God. As I said, everyone has something to give. Everyone here today can give something to God. But the question I suppose we really need to ask is, what's the quality of what we're giving to God? What's the quality of what we're giving today? And we talk about time, quality time. We all like quality time, don't we? Speak about it a lot. You know, that kind of time that we have for ourselves when we just come aside and share with family and friends and just have that good quiet time sort of thing, but with friends and so forth. But, you know, we just tend to guard ourselves a bit there, don't we? We tend to guard ourselves in this time zone that we call my time. It's mine, and I'm not going to share it with anyone. And so we guard ourselves a bit there, don't we? And we just want to protect that. But what about God? What about God? What kind of time are we giving to God? What kind of time are we giving to God? Do we give time to the things God is really concerned about? The things God's really concerned about? Our prayer, our praise, our devotions, reading His Word. What kind of time do we give God in serving in the life of the church? Do you spend time serving in the community? What about what we call good times? Time we still spend shopping, watching television, or on the computer, playing or watching sport, many, many things. But God wants the passion of our heart, doesn't He? And it doesn't mean that these things are wrong and that we don't partake in them. But it's all a part of what we're giving to God, what we're giving back. And this package, all these things that God has given us, you know, but in amongst all these things, God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice to me, a living sacrifice, a people of power, a people of praise, a people of worship, a people of servants with good hearts that just want to serve fellow believers, fellow people, do good things in life, help others. God just wants us to be that living sacrifice for Him. Something maybe we don't like to talk about, our finances, our money. But what about our money? Do we give from the top 10 or do we give only give to God after we've spread it out all out on other things and God gets the leftovers? It's probably something we don't speak a lot about here in Westphal, is about tithing and finances and money. We do mention it, but it's not something that we mention every week like some other churches do. But because in all this, you know, we don't overemphasize it, because our prayer and hope is as each person, as everyone grows in God, and grows in God, out of that growth in their own lives, in their relationship to God, there'll be just a natural spontaneous of giving back to God. And yet, whereas it's coming from you, it'll be a real sacrifice, and it's not through someone pushing you or every week or pumping you up to give to God, but that's the prayer and our heart behind our giving to God, you know, that it's going to come out of your heart, not because you're asked to do it, not because you're made to do it, because it comes out of our heart. And that's the way it should be in the things of God. And I suppose one of the greatest lessons of, you know, personal sacrifice I've seen was when we're in a mission trip to Papua New Guinea. And as we know, a lot of those countries are not as fortunate as us, and they just don't have the material wealth and possessions that we have. But when we're leaving there on the day, they saying goodbye, and these people came forth with all these gifts. And you know that out of what they gave us, was a real sacrifice. A real sacrifice, and it was a real heartfelt thing, because they just didn't have the thing, and I'm sure they all went around and pooled in just to get these a few presents, and we still got them and part of our home. But you know, things like that, you can see the real heart behind a person's giving, that it's a sacrifice, because they just love God. And everything they do, they just want to honour God in that way. And when people give out of their nothing, so to speak, like that, the widow, as we see, gave the few little coins she had. She gave all. But in the area of obedience, that's where God wants us to be. And in that area of obedience, what happens there? Well, what happens there? Do we only obey when it's easy? Do we obey only when people are watching? Are we really who we are when nobody else is watching, or are we someone else? But in all these kind of areas, God just wants us to respond. And the only way to respond is out of our hearts in giving back to Him. And so here in Malachi, we see there that there are two sacrifices, two livings that we are to be, the living sacrifices that God wants us to be. And when we just look at these things as a whole package in our giving back to what God rightly deserves, we'll ask the question, what are we offering of ourselves, and what does it look like? Is it out of date? Is it beat up and worthless? Is it from our best? Because God wants the very best in all that we can offer Him. Amen? But here in Malachi, in chapter 3, it says here, test me in this. Test me in all these things. And it says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord God Almighty. If you want God to bless you, will you start blessing God? Amen? You want to start blessing. If we're going to receive, well, we've got to give. We've got to give to God what's rightly His. And that's just not only about finances. I'm not talking about that. It's our whole of everything that is within us. All because of what the God has done for us. Because of what the Lord has done. Because He's given us life through Jesus Christ. And that's all God wants back from us, is our heart. And as we do these things, look to Him. And the Word says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord God Almighty. He says, I will fill your cupboards. There will be plenty of there for everyone. You'll have so much, it'll be coming out your ears. And so Lord says there. But here, as I said early on, Malachi was chosen to speak to the people. And the question is asked there, return to me. But the people ask, how are we to return? And the Lord replies with the question, will a man rob God? And He says, yet you rob me. Again, but you ask, how do we rob you? And the Lord replies, in tithes and offerings. So how can we expect to be blessed if we are not a blessing to God? How can we be expected to be blessed if we're not blessing Him? And he says there, test me in this. Hey, he's saying, hey, trust me and see what I'll do. Just trust me and see what I'll do. As it says here, in there, in verse 10, as you bring all these things, I will open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour out a blessing so great. And that's a mighty promise of God, isn't it? That God's going to do a great and a mighty thing here, in there. And so we see that. But again, just reading on a bit from verse 4, then once more the Lord will accept offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem, the people of St. Albans, the people of Westphal, as he did in the former times. At that time I will put you on trial. I'll be a ready witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord God Almighty. And in verse 8, where at 6 here, the call to repentance, and the Lord says, I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not completely destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my laws and failed to obey them. And see, they're wondering why. Well, why are you so angry with us, God? And so God there gave them the answers, because ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my laws and failed to obey them. So he asks the big question and says, now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord God Almighty. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? And God says, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? And the Lord says, you have cheated me in tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. And he goes on to say about bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough. So there will be enough. And he also tells them, as they do that, as you look to me, as you come back to me, he says, I will pour out my blessing so great. And the Lord says, try it. Let me prove it to you. For your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not shrivel before they are ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight. That's a powerful promise, that our land will be such a delight. You have said terrible things about me, said the Lord, but you say, what do you mean? How have we spoken against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? And you may have asked that question. You may have asked that question in some time in one of your down days. But again, the Lord says, what have we gained the people said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or trying to serve the Lord Almighty, that we are sorry for our sins? But the Lord says, from now on, we will say, blessed are the arrogant, for those who do evil get rich, and those there to punish them go free. But here's God's great and mighty promise. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. And in his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and loved to think about him. They will be my people. That's a powerful promise from God. Come back to him, as the people came back to him. And through the prophet Malachi, God spoke that powerful word. They will be my people. They will be my people. And the Lord, says the Lord Almighty, and on the day when I act, they will be my own special treasure. A special people. Special people. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient and dutiful child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't. So again, the challenge is there to us, isn't it? As I said early on this morning when I first started my word. But the challenge, there's always a challenge in the Word of God, isn't it? There's always a challenge. And often that challenge might seem hard. But God says, look to me and I will help you. I'll be with you. I'll walk with you through these challenges. I will help you. And it's Jesus, in the words of Jesus, seek me first. Seek me first. And all these things will be added unto you. So we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. We don't have to think about what's coming tomorrow as we look to the Lord. Because Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. So in the words of Malachi, the challenge to us is, test me in this. Test me in this. And that's what God wants. And he's promised. And see if I don't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have enough room for it. Are we ready for that test? Are we ready for that test? Because God is. God's willing. He is willing to meet that need. He's willing to speak to us, to give back to us, as we just turn our heart toward him. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Lord God, we just again give you thanks, Father God, again as we just come to the close of the service this day. We just thank you, Lord, that your hand has been upon us, that you've been with us, Lord. So, Lord, we just look to you because you've done a great and mighty thing. Lord, because of what you've done in our lives, Lord, that we might be always grateful. Lord, we would have the right attitude, Father. Lord, that we'd be grateful because of what you've done in us. Lord, through the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, that we can come and stand in your presence, Lord, as your people, as people of God, Father. We just thank you so much, Lord. Lord, that you called us, each one of us, according to your will and purpose. Lord, our prayer today, Lord, that we might walk in your will and purpose, that we will be a passionate people, a people with hearts turned toward you, a people who would cry out to you, a people who would reach out to you, and a people who would give our very best to you, that we would make ourselves a living sacrifice to you, Lord God, to you, Lord, that we your people, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.